Good morning. Welcome to worship on this, our final Sunday in the Easter season, as we look forward to the season of Pentecost beginning next week. Want to make a special welcome to all of you joining us from home. We're certainly glad we could be one body of Christ together. Also want to provide a word of thanks to Pastor Ray Wade, who will be presiding for us. Pastor Ray is recently relocated here to Eugene from Southern California, and we're certainly glad he could be with us today. Pastor Lori is out of town doing a wedding, so and I think getting a little R&R as well. So I'm very, very glad to hear that. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I invite all who are able to rise for our first hymn.
Us free for
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears to hear the Word of God.
The first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christ is Lord of heaven. shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from sinning?
The second lesson is from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The Gospel of the risen Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Sometimes there are no words. This past week, I think most of us felt that way. After the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Texas, most of us had no words. We've all felt it deeply within us. We've moved about in our feeling of the world and feeling deeply its darkness. And some of us can more resonate with Paul this week than most when he calls it our present evil age. Parents of elementary school children told me how hard it was for them to drop off their kids on Wednesday morning. What would we really say to them? You can, of course, bring up logical points or tidbits we've all gotten from the media, but really, where people are living, in their fears and anxieties, and more than anything, in their grief, there are really no words. And then when we interact with people, and sometimes when we express, you know, God really loves them, and they reply, no, they don't agree with that, that God doesn't love them. Either because they don't believe in a God at all, or they can see God, but only one of judgment. One who punishes humans for their misbehavior and results in the painful world and distress we live in. And then in those moments we try to show that our God is a God of love. And then something like last week happens. When asked, how could a loving God let that something like that happen? Of course, we have no words. And I think a tragedy like this bothers us so much for a variety of reasons. One is just the shock and the grief of the event. But it leads us, I think, into a reflection of how fragile our world is. That the world we live in is one that is broken, full of pain, and how real suffering exists for us. This tragedy can call forward all those moments in our lives that were very deeply personal, where we had no words. Perhaps when someone close to us has died or facing a really hard medical diagnosis, either for ourselves or someone close to us. All those kinds of moments where we have no words. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is spending his last moments with his disciples before he'll be arrested. He's talked with them. He's washed their feet. They've had a meal. He provided them some instruction, given them a new commandment to love one another. And now, with Jesus being fully aware of what's going to happen next, that he's going to be arrested, his disciples will desert him, and he'll be crucified. And once, you'll notice, Jesus is arrested. Once he is on the cross, he actually doesn't say all that much. Sometimes you'll have a Good Friday service centered around the words of the cross. You know, we can do that because there are so few. We find that faced with the reality and the gruesomeness of the world, even for Jesus, sometimes there are very few words. And here we have him directly before that. And how does he prepare the disciples? The upcoming crucifixion and resurrection are beyond what the disciples can possibly comprehend. So Jesus doesn't provide tips and strategies for dealing with what's to come, nor does he provide platitudes about some greater meaning. After all, how do you prepare people for something they can't even fathom? As much as we like to say, expect the unexpected, of course, you know, it's not true. If we're expecting it, it's not unexpected. Jesus knows there's something coming they can't understand. So he doesn't instruct them. He doesn't guide them. He prays. Jesus is praying in our text today, and it's actually a portion of a much longer prayer. And he's praying to God, the Creator, on behalf of all who would follow him. Those at the time and all of us here today, Jesus prays for us. When there are no real words to tell his disciples, he prays for them. And while we hear Jesus speaking, we remember it's a prayer. This is not Jesus giving an ethical admonition to work harder or instruction so they can learn something. It's a prayer to God. And in that prayer, Jesus prays that the disciples of all times and places become one, that they become united. And that is hard for us, especially in moments like this where we see how visible the divisions are around us. But then Jesus clarifies it, that we be one, but not in a way we would usually think of it, but the way Jesus and God, the Creator, are one. What does that even mean? To have a relationship with each other the same way Jesus has a relationship with God? Jesus is God, so united that there is no separation. Is that something we can really understand, contemplate? Because, of course, whenever we start talking about the Trinity with God the Creator and Jesus the Holy Spirit, our analogies we use about the sun or apples or whatever, they all fail. We can't understand how they can be distinct and the same at one time. So Jesus moves to something we can understand. He talks about love. He talks about the way that God the Creator loves him and loves us. We think of that frequently as we think about our role in the world to love one another. A few weeks ago, we had the text before this in John where Jesus gives that mandate. We usually read it at Maundy Thursday, but we also had it this year a few weeks ago, that we love one another just as I have loved you. That second part is hard. How do we love the way Jesus loves? We aren't God, after all. But here in this prayer is the other side. Jesus prays that the disciples know that God the Creator loves us the same way God loves Jesus. We can't really understand what it means to love one another like Jesus loves us. But equally true is this new point. We can't understand what it means that God the Creator loves us the same way God loves Jesus. The perfect love between God the Creator and Jesus that is now shown to be alive within us, even though that is well beyond our comprehension. Jesus prays this to God. He's not directly instructing the disciples in this. After all, they wouldn't have followed. They wouldn't have understood. These are the mysteries of faith that are beyond words. And despite them being beyond words, though, they're real. They're happening. What's the love that God has for us? Can we understand it? Well, no. But we can experience it. Jesus is praying. He's not charging the community to try harder to become one. He's instead asking God to make the community one. He's asking God to transform all those that will ever be in relationship with him. He's speaking to a group for whom there are no words. Jesus will be arrested and crucified. What Jesus will do in the death and resurrection isn't something that can be understood. The love that is shown there from God to us is beyond our ability to understand. So, in many ways, there are no words. And so Jesus prays. He prays for God to transform us, to empower us. And he provides a pattern for us when there are no words. A prayer that we become transformed in ways we do not understand, because we also live in a world we do not understand. There's no preparation that we could go that would be enough to prepare us emotionally or spiritually for an event like we had last week. Instead, we'd have no words. Jesus invites us at those moments. We pray there's something there more than we can fathom. God's work in us is something that we experience. And our theologies and our words break down quickly. What we frequently are left with is what Jesus had with his disciples. It's not our words that provide hope directly, not our strategies for managing the unmanageable, but our presence. Jesus is present with his disciples. They don't understand what he means and how God's going to transform them. They can't grasp. But the presence of Christ together is something they experience. It's something happening beyond words. One of my experiences, one of my best visits I've ever had in a hospital, was when there were no words. I visited a woman who'd had a stroke very recently, and I was a student chaplain and never met her before. And she'd lost most of her verbal ability and was working in therapy on that. But she could only speak if she said something three or four times. It was exhausting and tiresome. And so after a very brief time talking, I was just silent for a little bit before heading out because I could tell how difficult it was. And when I talked to some of the professional chaplains that were there, they said, those are the moments to allow yourself to be present. There are no words, literally. So don't use them. Instead, be present. As we approach our world in all its brokenness, sometimes there are not words. And what we can be is present. Present before God, present before the world, and we can name that there are no words. And so we can follow the prayer of Jesus and pray, Lord, do something in us more than we can understand. Do something in this world more than we can fathom. Be present among us. Our hope and our trust is not in our words. It's in our God who's working in us at all times, in our trust that God is not done with us yet. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite all who are able to rise for our next hymn.
My love. justice of thy ways. Thine the glory, thine the story, then the welcome to the knees, then the wonder all increasing at thy feast, at thy feast. Thine the glory in the night, no more dying, only light. From the river life that breathed, the Lamb eternally. Then the holy, holy, holy celebration to the living. Thine the splendor, thine the brightness, only
with the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, people in need, and all of creation. Holy God, make your people one as you and your Son are one. Extend the gifts we've been given by your Spirit to all people, especially those experiencing division or questioning your love. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Make worthy the work of scientists who look to the stars and planets, as well as scientists who look to atoms and molecules. Bring innovation and well-being to humanity through their discoveries. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, giver of life, you intend for humans to live together in peace. In this time of grief over gun violence, we pray for your presence among us, that trusting in your mighty and gentle healing, we may live in hope. Remember before you those who've died, children and teachers and staff of Robb Elementary School. We commend them to your eternal love. Grant healing and wholeness to the survivors who were wounded or traumatized, and restore all whose spirits are maimed by such violence. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Stir imagination and understanding throughout the church at every vocation and space, including in the work of poets, theologians, hymn writers, and musicians. Lead them into new visions and fresh expressions of your presence. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant freedom to all who are overwhelmed by chronic illness, depression, anxiety. Provide healing and comfort to all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Open them to receive health and salvation in Christ through the Spirit, the Spirit's gift of faith. We pray especially today for Kelly Carlson, Joshua Chamness, Terry Champ, Linnea Embleton, Bob and Caroline Evans, Claudia Hardwick, Joy Lathrop, Doug Martin, Dave Prescott, Katie Rothstein, and Marilyn Tollefson. For all these we've named aloud, for those we hold in our heart and those known only to you, we pray, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Unite us with the saints who have died and been raised in Jesus. Train us to wait with eager longing for Christ to come again, even as we sense his presence with us now and comfort all who grieve. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always. Just take a moment to turn to one another and share just a sign of peace to each other. Let us receive our morning's offering.
There is a bone in Gilead. Let us pray.
Praise God from whom all
blessings flow. Praise the Lord who made me whole. Praise God above the heavens. Praise the Son and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Living God, you gather the wolf and the lamb to feed together in your peaceable reign, and you welcome us all at your table. Reach out to us through this meal and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times, in all places, give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation that you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which our Savior was handed over to suffering and death, he took the bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated. We will receive communion today. Once again, in the form of intinction. The wafer will be placed in your hand, and you simply intinct or dip the wafer into the cup. Also, we do have, just a reminder, we do have gluten-free wafers. Please ask for one. And we do have wine as well as grape juice in the cup. People of God, come, for all is ready. Please follow the usher's directions forward for communion. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace unto eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, generous God, for in this bread and cup we have tasted the new heaven and earth, where hunger and thirst are no more. Send us from this table as witnesses to the resurrection, that through our lives all may know life in Jesus' name. Amen.
A few brief announcements about our life together this week. You'll see them in the back of your bulletin. The first is to note the last week in June is Vacation Bible School. And feel free to go ahead and get children, grandchildren, friends of the family registered, and also looking for volunteers, both youth and adults. Contact Crystal Miller, our youth and family minister, and you see Crystal's email there. Once again, thank you to Pastor Ray for being here. And then the last announcement's sort of awkward for me to announce, which is that next week you have a semi-annual congregational meeting. That is both, please try to be there in person in the parish hall, but there will be a Zoom option, and you'll be voting on an associate pastor of an unnamed candidate. So. Now I ask all who are able to rise and receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You are the body of Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace. Share the good news. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.